What I want to talk about today is revelation. Now, what's the first thing that comes to people's mind when we talk about revelation? All right. Got one out here who's saying the end of the world. The scrolls, the book of Revelation. But that's not what I want to talk about. But I will start there. In Revelation chapter 1, John writes, "The revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave unto him to show his servants things which shortly must come to pass. And he sent and signified it by an angel unto his servant John." What is revelation? Revelation is not just always the end of the world. Even though this is he's telling us in this book that he's going to show us the things that are going to happen at the end of the world. The revelation is the knowledge. And in the book of Revelation, it was just being communicated by God to Jesus through an angel to John. Look at the hierarchy that how John got this word. But there are so many other ways that God talks to us today, and a lot of people do not realize it. I want to speak about revelation of what the word actually means. The word is apocalypsis in the Greek, which it means an uncovering, an unveiling. It's sort of like a present. Everybody get presents around Christmas time? And if somebody didn't tell you what that present was, what's in that little box that's packaged, you don't know what it is. It has not been revealed to you. A lot of people have kids like me. They gave you hints of what you wanted, so they sort of have an idea. But in most cases, if it's from somebody that doesn't really know you, you get this little present from somebody you haven't talked to for years, you have no idea what it is, unless it looks like a fruitcake. But most times, you're like, what are they doing? Oh, no, I have to go get them one, too. I forgot. But the thing is, it's not revealed till it's unopened and it's unveiled. And there's a lot of things that God has revealed to us that we don't really look at. See, God reveals himself to three types of audiences, as I would say. One, he reveals himself to the world one way. And another way, he reveals himself to the church and to the believer. The church as a whole is for all the church. Sometimes it's personally to the believer himself, which is different than what he's telling the world. Paul talks about this in 2 Corinthians 12, 6 through 9, where he says, "For though I desired a glory," doesn't man always want a glory? "I shall not be a fool. For that I will say the truth, but now I forbear, lest any man should think of me above that which he seeth me to be, or what he heareth me of me, and lest I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of revelations. There was given unto me a thorn of the flesh, a messenger of Satan, to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure. For this thing I besought the Lord thrice, that it may depart from me. And he said, My grace is sufficient unto me, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, I would rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me." Now, Paul, like a lot of us, is like, God, why don't you show me more? But he restricted him. God knows what we can handle, and there's a reason he reveals certain things for certain reasons. Three times Paul said, I want to hear everything from you. I want everything revealed to me of you, but there's a hindrance in my way, and Satan's the one hindering me. God allowed it. A messenger of Satan hindered him. Now, there's a lot of speculation what that could be. I think it was a physical illness. Because he actually says, in weakness, he says, in my infirmities, he'd rather glory in that the power of God may rest upon him. So if you have a physical weakness, that does not mean that God cannot use you. There's been a lot of people that God healed 100% completely. There's some that don't. But you can tell that there was one guy that was sitting there years ago, and I don't remember his name. If somebody remembers it, he used to sit there and come up. He was really slow. He'd come up. I got a mental handicap, but I love God. I praise God. I preach His words. What's stopping you? Somebody that had a physical problem, still preaching the word. And many others have done that through in the past. People in wheelchairs. People that cannot even hear. People who cannot see. Their audience is usually a little different than our audience that we see in the church. But God still uses them. So there are some times why He actually limits our revelation that He gives us. Many want a revelation, or can say a revealed knowledge. That's what we're going to go, a knowledge revealed to them about something in their lives. But what I want to talk about today is more how God reveals Himself to us. You like we're talking about the present. You won't know unless you have any clues. But God's given us clues all over the place. This applies to all humanity today, everywhere. As we consider the revelation to God in the Bible, there are several ways He reveals Himself. First is through what we call a general revelation. That means God is displaying Himself to everybody. This is the message to the world. And many people can say, well, God didn't come down and talk directly to me. But didn't He in some way? The first revelation we see is in His creation, as we call it nature. It's called nature because it's the natural things, the way things consist and are always in front of you. But in actuality, it's not natural. It's not natural for atoms to be clinging together the way they should with the electrons, the neutrons, and the protons. They should be fighting each other. How do they consist together? How does gravity and the world consist together? How does our body consist together? It has to be by the power of God. As we look at nature, we see the handiwork of God. As the paintbrush of God that puts on the sky on the beautiful sceneries. As you look at the stars in heaven, what keeps them up there? When we look at the animals themselves and the nature that God's put in them, the sun, the moon, it all declares that there is a God. The trees of the forest, the grass of the fields, the way the oceans move back and forth. In Romans 1:19 through 22, because they that may be known of God is manifest in them, which means He revealed it to them. He showed it to them to be manifested to them. For God has showed it unto them. For the invisible things of Him from creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made them, even His eternal power and Godhead. We don't see air, but we know it exists. God is invisible. We don't see Him, but we should know He exists. There's a lot of things that we don't actually see our physical eyes, but we know it's there. And there's other things, because the things that are invisible affects the things that are visible, that we should see that there's a God. Fact, wind in a tree. You don't see the wind, but you see the effects of it. And you see the effects of everything that God touches on this earth. And so as we continue on in Romans 1, it says, so that they are without excuse, because that when they knew God, they glorified Him not as God. A lot of people that say they are either atheists or agnostic, I'll go on the agnostics a little bit more later, but an atheist says there is no God. Well, the Bible says in Psalms 14:1 that the fool says in his heart that there is no God. What does he mean by that? Most people, when you think of the word fool, what do you think of? You think of somebody that's an idiot. You think somebody that's uneducated, somebody that's stupid. That's not true. The matter of fact, most of the people that if you've talked to atheists are very smart. Psalms 14, 1 through 3 explains a little bit more. It says, a fool said in their heart, there is no God. They are corrupt. They have done abominably works. They have done none that doeth good. There is none that doeth good. You remember that in Romans chapter 3 says that? The Lord looked down from heaven and upon the children of men to see if they were any that did understand and seek God. They are all gone aside. They are all together become filthy. There is none that doeth good. No, not one. Not one doeth good. Those that say they are an atheist and that there is no God, it's not because they don't know that there's a God out there, but they refuse Him. They knew that there was a God, but He said in His heart, I will not believe. And He is corruptible. He is evil. He is a vile person. As we're going in here, the word fool here means actually somebody that is usually very educated and has made a decision that there is no God. They're very well educated, and these are the type of people that I would call educated idiots. Very smart in worldly knowledge, but have no spiritual significance or life for seeking God. They have rejected God's general revelation through creation, so they will not accept Him. Then there's another part of nature that teaches us. As Solomon uses nature to teach us in many things. If you read the Proverbs and Ecclesiastes, it talks about, Solomon says, look at the ant. He's showing you that in wisdom that we should be busy, we shouldn't be slothful. He says, look at the sloth, don't be as the sloth. Jesus Himself as Paul talked about a fig tree. He used the fig tree as an illustration. That's nature. God created the fig tree. He uses the fig tree in significance of our faith, as well as the significance of how Israel's last days will be. And then there's a part that talks about the serpent. Jesus tells us to be wise as serpents, but harmless as doves. He uses nature to teach us. And Paul tells us in 1 Corinthians 11, 14 through 16, does not even nature itself teach us you that if a man have long hair, it is a shame unto him? Oh, did I just open a can of Doctrine of Worms there? Nature teaches you that it is a shame for a man to have long hair. Most people in one of the denominations I used to belong to would teach us that if you have long hair, you're not following God. Well, there's those in the Nazarite vows that God told them not to shave their hair while they're under that vow. There's many different things in God's Word that talks about long hair. But this one right here is that one sentence is what people focus on. Nature does teach you that it is not really made for a man to have long hair. But it doesn't stop there. But if a woman have long hair, it is a glory to her, for her hair is her covering. But if any man be contentious, we have no such custom, and neither does the Church of God. We're not here to judge you by how long your hair is. God says not to judge by appearance. We should judge by the heart or the actions. Nature does teach us, though. Jesus Himself rebuked the religious leaders at times. And one of His was because of nature. You discern the sky. You can tell what the weather's like, but you cannot discern the times. You couldn't discern the time when I, the Savior, was here on earth to show you the true way to God. You discern all these other things in nature, but you could not discern my coming. Question with that is, will we be able to discern when He comes back for us? Are we ready for those end times? So we need to be prepared. And this all is within revelation of what God's given us in nature. Now's on some sad notes, as part of nature. In Romans 8:22, it says, "For we know that the whole creation groaneth and travail in pain together until now." All creation is waiting for Jesus to come back, to restore all things, to put everything back in balance the way it should be, to take away the curse from the earth as it should be, and have the kingdom of God here on earth. As we've seen of late, that God does use nature to declare himself, and all nature is waiting for Christ's return. Many have heard comments that what befell Haiti was a pact that the country made with the devil 100 years ago or so. But I think Jesus actually addresses this himself when he talked about the blind man, when his disciple says, "Who made this man blind? Was it for his sins or was it of his parents?" Remember what Jesus said to him? "Neither. That the glory of God may be manifested in him." To go a little further here, if anybody thinks that, well, you know, we know Haiti has a very sinful population, that they're into voodoo and witchcraft. So was New Orleans. So we had a little bit of similarity in the type of culture. And they were both maybe befell the judgment of God. But we need to look at God's word before making those judgments on ourselves of what Jesus says. In Luke 13, 1 through 5, and it says, "There were present at that scene some that told him of the Galileans, whose blood Pilate had mingled with their sacrifices. And Jesus answered, and he said unto him, Suppose ye that these Galileans were sinners above all Galileans, because they suffered such things? I tell you, nay. But except you repent, you will all likewise perish. Or of the 18 upon whom the tower of Siloam fell and slew them, think ye that they were sinners above all men that dwelt in Jerusalem? I tell you, nay. Except you repent, you should all likewise perish." So for those who think they're pridefully more holy, that this nation of God, one nation under God, is greater than Haiti, they're wrong. The message is, this is the time to repent, to come to God. It's for Haiti, it's for America, it's for Israel, it's for the Muslim nations. We all need to come to Christ. That's what the message is. One part of the message that we have today is seeing what we're doing and helping our brothers and sisters in these lands when they're hurting. People say, how come there's so many people that are lame, hurting, and blind? These babies that are born that way. And I think sometimes it's to see our response to them. How do we treat them? Do we put a stumbling block in front of them and trip them, make fun of them and laugh at them? Or do we help them? That's the true art of knowing who you are as a Christian. That's the way the world will see if you really are a Christian, is if you have love one for another and that you love your brother more than you do yourself. So this is an opportunity to display God's love and reveal our love of God to the world. Another manifestation of the world is the power of his presence, the presence of God in us, the believer. As in these last days, he is pouring out his spirit upon all flesh. Not all flesh will receive it, but he's done it to all flesh. Everybody knows the encounter of Acts chapter 2, where the Holy Spirit came down and fell upon the believers, the disciples, and they all spoke in tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. But what was that all about? Was that all about just them speaking in tongues? No. But it was about a manifestation of God to the world. To the believer, they received power. They received power to minister, according to Acts chapter 1. Then wait until Jerusalem. Then, after you receive power, go into the world. But beforehand, they had to be empowered by God. They had to have a revelation of God in their own lives more than they had at that time. And that's why there's a difference of revelation. The first was the general revelation of God displaying himself to the world by nature. The second is to those who believe of what he's told them. And through the scriptures and through the prophets and through nature, they went to the second level. So now God's got a personal relationship with them and is revealing himself to them in a more intimate way. So when there was a big stir after they were filled with the Spirit, and it says in Acts chapter 2, 14 through 21, but Peter, standing up with the 11, first message he preached, lifted up his voice and said unto them, ye men of Judea and all that dwell in Jerusalem, be this known unto you and hearken unto my words. Listen to me, is what he's saying. Listen to me. For these are not drunken as ye suppose, seeing it is only the third hour of the day. But this is that which was spoken of the prophet Joel. And it shall come to pass in the last days, saith God, I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh. Your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. And on my servants and on my handmaidens, I will pour out in those days of my spirit, and they shall prophesy. And I will show wonders in heaven above, and the signs of the earth beneath, and blood and fire and vapor and smoke. The sun shall be turned to darkness and the moon into blood before that great and notable day of the Lord come. And it shall come to pass that whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. That is what the gospel's all about. The manifestation of these powers that is given to the church is to bring forth the gospel to the world. Another part of where the world will see it. If they don't believe the general revelation of Jesus Christ through nature, they can believe it through your word, by your actions. And the wonderful thing is that God still does this today. He does reveal himself through dreams, visions, prophets. But that's not the important revelation we're looking at. We're looking at, how does God reveal himself to you? Now let's go on to the agnostics. They say, I believe there might be a God, but maybe there's not. You know, the verdict's still out. The jury's still out to lunch. We'll wait until they come back with enough proof to prove to me that there's a God. The only problem with that is they're not choosing for Christ. They are looking for a way not to be responsible to what the gospel teaches. The gospel itself shows us that there is a God. Nature itself shows us there's a God. History itself proves that there's a God. But yet they still do not want to believe. Because once they have to make the admission that there is a God, then they have to find out who is that God. And then they have to go to the second step and be responsible to who that God is and why he created them. They don't want that. In Matthew 12:30 through 31, Jesus says, he who is not with me is against me. And he that gathereth not with me scattereth abroad. As a Christian, it is our job to proclaim the gospel of Jesus Christ. Doesn't matter what state you're in, that is our job. That is our responsibility, to go into the world and preach the gospel. He that gathereth not with me scattereth. Okay? Wherefore I say unto you, all manner of blasphemy shall be forgiven unto men, but the blasphemy against the Holy Ghost shall not be forgiven unto the man. What he's saying there, even though you may go through a time where you do not believe, yet you come back, God will forgive you. The Bible even says you may have even cursed God. You may even curse the Son, but you still can come back because His love is always there. But if you curse the Holy Spirit, there is no forgiveness. Why? Because He's revealed it to you. He's revealed Himself to you in such a way that you know it's God. You know it. You know the Holy Spirit is the one that showed you these things, but yet you rejected him. So the agnostic, just as all the world, there is no excuse, as it said in Romans chapter 1. There is no excuse. there is a God. And if there's a God, and there is, you need to find out who he is and what his plan is for your life. Other ways that God reveals himself. Adam, he walked with God in the garden. We can also look at many people in the Bible who heard God's audible voice. Then we have the one that's more normal today is the Elijah experience, who's talked to heard God in a small, still voice. Very quiet. Not one going up and saying, Anthony! No. Be Omar. I hear it in my heart. Not into the physical ears. In your heart, that's where God speaks to you, in your spirit. It's that small, still voice. And there's also prophecies, prophets, visions, dreams. I mean, how many people would like an Isaiah experience that says in Isaiah 6:1, I see the Lord high and lifted up, and his train fills the temple. And the angels cry, holy, holy, holy. How many people would love to see that? I know I would. But in these last days, how has Jesus spoken to us? Through his son, Jesus Christ. The truth is that when Jesus died on the cross, he made an outward witness to the world. And he made a way not only to reconcile the difference between us and God by his sacrifice, but he brought a time where he would draw people to himself to bring them to God. In John 12:32, Jesus said, if I be lifted up, I will draw all men unto myself. So all men, not some men, all men. And I'm talking about men, I'm talking about mankind, so you women are not excluded. But he will draw all men unto himself. So there is a time in every person's life, I believe, at least once, that Jesus Christ is going to draw them toward himself. Will they receive him? God will not go past your free will. You're a free moral agent. You're supposed to be mature enough to make your own decisions. And once you get to that point where you can make your own decision, he's not going to force himself on you. But he's going to give you that opportunity to choose whom you're going to serve. Are you going to serve the gods of this world? Or are you going to serve the Lord Jesus Christ? For me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Hallelujah. So how about the people that do not understand or hear the gospel? This gospel message. 2 Corinthians 4, 3 through 7 claims it pretty easily. But if our gospel be hid, it is hid of them that are lost, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the eyes of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine upon them. So it's hid from them. But how about to us? For we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your servants for Jesus' sake. For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness in our hearts, to give light of knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. But we have this treasure, this precious, precious treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. The gospel is not hidden from us. The revelations of God are not hidden from us. It's hidden for us. If they reject the general revelation, the preaching of the gospel, they're rejecting God. And so they cannot see. But God has hidden them from the prudent, the prideful, and he's shown them unto babes, people that will trust him, people that will love him. It didn't matter how educated you were. The agnostic, the atheist, with all their worldly wisdom, will not make it to heaven because they will not let their heart change by the glorious gospel of Jesus Christ. And it says further in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 6 through 11, howbeit we speak wisdom among them that are perfect, That word perfect does not mean I am perfect. That word means that I am being perfected. I am being changed. Yet, not the wisdom of this world, nor the princes of this world that come to naught, but we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, even a hidden wisdom. Oh, I thought God denied things from people, that he proclaimed his glory to all. He did to one point, but to another point he didn't. Which God ordained before the world unto our glory, which none of the princes of this world knew. For had they known it, they would have never crucified the Lord of glory. Jesus revealed himself to the world, and they crucified him. He revealed the truth. He came unto his own knew him not. Came to his own, and they received him not. But to them that received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God. He died for the whole world, but only those that receive him and accept it are going to have that everlasting life in Christ. But as it is written, and this comes from the Old Testament, as Paul's quoting, I have not seen nor ear heard, neither have entered the heart of man the things which God has prepared to them that love them. Never know what God's going to do. It's a mystery. How's these things going to happen? I don't know. But to his servants are something different. If I left it at that, it'd have been something like, it's just knowing God is such a mystery. It's hard. It's impossible to understand what God wants from me. But the verse continues on and in the chapter. It says, but God hath revealed them unto us by his Spirit. For the Spirit searches all things, yea, the deep things of God. And for what knoweth the things of man save the spirit of man which is in him? Even so the things of God knoweth no man but the Spirit of God. It's the Spirit that dwells in us that reveals to our spirit that we are children of God. It is the Spirit that is talking to our spirit that allows us to receive from God. And the only way we can do that is to be filled with His Spirit. If you don't have His Spirit, how are you going to be able to receive from God? Yeah, you may accept the head knowledge, but it didn't go down to the heart knowledge into your spirit. It is very important in this last revelation to the believers to trust God with everything that He's showing us. Ephesians 3:3-6, it says, how that by revelation He made known unto us the mystery. He revealed it. He revealed us the mystery. As I wrote in a few words, whereby when you read, you may understand my knowledge in the mystery of Christ, which in the ages was not made known unto the Son of Man. There is a mystery. There is an aura about what's going on in people's lives, and they don't understand it. But as a Christian, this mystery should be known because it is proclaimed to us by His Spirit and by the Word of God. It was not known, but as it is now revealed unto His holy apostles, sent ones, and prophets by the Spirit. Are you an apostle? Are you a prophet? You need to make sure your election, but you know what? In the general term, we're all apostles, missionaries, sent ones. I'm not talking about like the Apostle Paul or the Apostle James or any of the other apostles you find in that God called the original 12, 13, 14, that it can end up being. There's many others that they say there were. But we're all sent to preach the gospel. And that's what apostle means. Sent. We're all sent. So he's actually given us the same message, and he's actually showing us exactly here what it is. That the Gentiles shall be fellow heirs, partners, as you should say, and of the same body and partakers of his promise in Christ by the gospel. When we looked at the Old Testament, they've seen the covenant was made to Israel, to the nation of Israel, and for those who actually became a proselyte of Israel and started joining in the sacrifices and believing in the God Jehovah. But now, in these last days, God is talked to us through Jesus Christ. Israel was supposed to be a light to the world, not just to one little tiny little nation. They did not succeed in what God wanted them to do at that time. And because of this, in Romans 11, it tells us that because Israel's fall, that salvation is coming to the Gentiles. But now we're heirs and joint heirs with Christ, as well as part of Abraham's seed. Abraham's seed was not the physical seed. Abraham's seed was a seed of faith, where he believed God and it was counted unto him as righteousness. And when you look at the physical seed, that's Jesus Christ. That's how he became many nations right now are saved. Not because of just Israel, but because of Jesus Christ. That seed is Jesus Christ, who came to this earth and died for us. And how did he talk to us? Just like I said a second ago, in Hebrews 1:1-2, God, who at sundry times, in divers manners, spake in time past unto the fathers by the prophets, hath in these last days spoken unto us by his Son, whom he hath appointed heir of all things, by whom he also made the world. Who made creation that they're rejecting? Jesus. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God, and all things. How many? All things were made by him. And without him, there was nothing made which was made. All things were made by him, and that includes the world. People says, how does this happen? Well, it's all there in Genesis 1. And it says, God spake, and it was so. Jesus is the Word that he spake. And God spake, the Word did it. Jesus created this world. It's his world. This message in his Word by the prophets he commanded is shown to us by his prophets, his commandments, and also made known by our obedience to God. Our obedience to him shows the world this revelation of God as well. As in Romans 16:25-26, now to him that has the power to establish you according to my gospel, at the preaching of Jesus Christ, according to the revelation of the mystery, which was kept since the world began, but is now made manifest by the scriptures, the prophets, according to the commandment of the everlasting God, made known to all nations for obedience of the faith. When you're being obedient to God, you're a revelation to others of this world that there is a God. When you're disobedient, what type of witness do you think that is? Looking at God's Word, we have seen that he reveals himself to the world, to the individuals, and to the church. And I want to end with the proclamation of Jesus' revelations to us all. In Matthew 16:15-18, he saith unto them, by whom say that I am? And Simon Peter answered and said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus said, blessed art thou, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. I say unto thee, thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevent it. It is upon this rock, this revelation, that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God, that we know that there is a God. It's not by flesh and blood. It's by the Spirit of God that he reveals this. He will draw all men unto himself. As Jesus talks to the church, but in Revelation chapter 3, verse 20-22, he's also talking to individuals, where he says, behold, I stand at the door and knock. He's knocking. If any man, see, that's not just the church. If anybody hears me, If any man hears my voice, even though people say, oh, this was written to the church, but the direct message is to the world. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come into him and will sup with him and he with me. Suppers back then was fellowship. He will have a relationship with you. The breaking of bread was covenant in the relationship of believers, also of the Jewish faith. And it still is today in this context. To him that overcometh, I will grant to sit in my throne. Even as I overcame, he was killed. He was crucified. He's dead and buried, and he overcame in the resurrection. And he's now set down with my Father in his throne. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. He's talking to the church, and he's talking to the individuals of this earth right now, that if you will open the door as he's knocking at your heart, that he will come into you. If you don't know Christ and you're listening to this message on the internet, I ask you right now to accept him as your Lord and Savior. If you feel him knocking at your door, don't reject it. Trust him today. Just ask Jesus to come in your life, to reveal himself to you. Father, we thank you for this time, and we just ask, Lord, that you would reveal yourself to your church and to your people more and more, and put us to the part where we can obey you more and more. We ask for the power to be able to spread your word, Lord, in love and not in judgment. And Lord, that you would move and stir the hearts of the church to have a burden for souls, to be able to seek out those that are lost and proclaim your glorious word. We thank you for this opportunity today, Lord, that we can draw closer to you, Father. And I just ask right now, Lord, that you would guide our hands and our hearts to be obedient to you. And Lord, as you reveal yourself more, that we would be empowered to be able to do as you ask. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.